This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, final hour of power right here on a Sunday morning leading up till noon. Reese Waters at that point. Clarence Hill will join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk some Dallas Cowboys football, and he had Charles Robinson on his radio showgram yesterday, which kind of started this accelerated timeline news in which, you know, again, very well could be that this is the last day that the team will officially be known as the Washington Redskins. We don't know that for sure. We don't know what the new name will be. It's widely speculated, assumed that it'll be Warriors, as we've talked about all morning. I just stumbled across this before we get back to the phones. The Athletic put together a list and a survey, I guess, an NFL stadium rankings thing on the Athletic's website. They have 31 reporters, 31 NFL reporters. Right. And there's, of course, 31 NFL stadiums, or there was, because the Giants and Jets shared a stadium, and now the Rams and the Chargers are going to share SoFi Stadium, the new one out in Southern California. So there'll be 30. Right. However, SoFi Stadium and the new Raiders Stadium in Las Vegas was eliminated from this because no games have been played there. And essentially the old L.A. Memorial Coliseum, the old soccer stadium that the Chargers used to play in, and the Oakland Coliseum were part of this survey as far as the worst and best stadiums. So what they had their reporters do was 31 NFL writers ranked the NFL's five best and five worst stadiums in order. Okay? Again, excluding certain stadiums, what have you. Here's the rankings. Number five, Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati, which opened in 2000. Could you imagine having a 20-year-old stadium and having it be considered terrible already? Not good. So Paul Brown Stadium got fifth. Now MetLife Stadium and Hard Rock Stadium weren't too far behind. And those places are newer and major renovations were made. I'm not sure what that's all about. I guess people just don't like, you know, certain stadiums. I don't know. But Paul Brown Stadium, number five. Number four, not a surprise, L.A. Memorial Coliseum, a place older than dirt, 1923, built for the Olympics, all that stuff. They landed number four on the Athletic's list. Number three, probably the worst stadium I've been to by far, and that's the old Oakland Coliseum. And I've been there three times, and it was awful every time. It smells. It's cramped. It sucks. That should have been number one. Number two, TIAA Bank Field, Jacksonville. Again, I don't think it's as bad of a stadium as they're making it out to be. Look, it's not good, but it's not bad. They've added cabanas and pools and video boards and all sorts of different things since I've been there, so I'm sure it's even better than I remember it. But I wouldn't say it's number two. But number one, and the reason why we're getting to this, FedEx Field. As The Athletic puts it, quote, this wasn't even close. The stadium in Landover, Maryland was on 27 of the 31 ballots, receiving 14 votes as the NFL's worst venue. According to Rhiannon Walker of The Athletic, quote, FedEx Field definitely deserves this ranking. From purely a reporter standpoint, there's a mile walk to and from the stadium. That is true. Rain, snow, or shine, it's one of the older stadiums in the league and without the fun history of Lambeau or Soldier Field. The upper-level seats are regularly covered because of poor attendance. Ben Standing, my pal from The Athletic as well. Quote, while I cannot personally rank all NFL stadiums based on personal experience, FedEx Field ranking near the bottom, or at the bottom, comes as no shock. Just to check myself, since it's been a long minute, I attended a game without a media pass. I asked my friends for thoughts. Among the issues, locations, as in this Maryland suburb's locale is a poor one for fans wanting to arrive early or wait out post-game traffic. Of course, of which there's plenty when packed. He says, insert no when they're 3-13 joke here. There are no restaurants or bars or walking around areas. Parking, of course, exacerbated, whatever that word is. I always struggle with exacerbated. I can't say that word. By point number one, parking is a nightmare and can take up to 2 hours to exit at times. And I'm just reading again from the Athletic's analysis here of FedEx Field being the worst stadium in the NFL. Ben talks about it being buzzkill. Let's see what else is. That's basically the nuts and bolts of it. All right, when we have more time, we'll try and go over the five best stadiums. I wonder where Jerry's World is going to be. I wonder where Lambeau Field is going to be. Interesting. I would just say this. Everybody knows that FedEx Field is a concrete jungle, is just a terrible stadium. But they're not only stuck there for the next 7 or so years. They might be stuck there longer. They really might. I mean, there's all sorts of complications to the RFK site. Even if they change the name, when they change the name, what have you. All sorts of complications. We can go into that at another time. All sorts of complications. Virginia right now wants nothing to do with them. Now, maybe Virginia gets, you know, a different governor aboard that is more in line with the former one, Terry McAuliffe, who was doing everything he could to court the Redskins and ran out of time. Maybe that happens, and maybe that reopens up Virginia. But for right now, it's not looking like Virginia is in the stadium game. I could be wrong on that. It could change in 2021 or 2022, whenever the next election is. I think it's 2022. I could be wrong on that. And if you get it done in 2022 and you get an ultra-aggressive governor and that is a main thing for them, I suppose you could see a new stadium funding, construction, all of that stuff, and ready by 2027, 2028, whenever, again, the timeline allows. But there's a very real possibility that the Redskins might be, or whatever they're going to be called, might be in FedEx Field longer than even when they're supposed to be out. Because they own the property. And the lease expires 2027. Somebody asked me on Twitter, if the lease expires 2027, why does that matter if they don't? My understanding is, and again, this is my very mundane understanding, is they don't have to leave FedEx Field even though the lease is expired. They can, of course they'll have to sign something, but they can roll it over. That's my understanding. They own the property. And they own the stadium. The lease was put in place so that they couldn't just, I guess, get up and leave. I know there was a very prohibitive penalty, very prohibitive, until about 2024 is what I was told one time a few years ago. And then there's different levels of payout after that, meaning if they would have been able to get a new stadium, i.e., the Falcons, got a new stadium 20 years after the Georgia Dome opened. Well, if the Redskins were to have the political clout and power to do that and the ownership to do that, then that's what that lease was about. that they would have had to pay some sort of huge financial penalty. I believe if they want to play there until 2029, 2030, the way it's been explained to me by a couple of people, they can. So it's very possible that we could be stuck with this dump, this concrete jungle, if you will, until 2029, 2030. Who knows? Maybe Dan will move by then. Maybe. All right. I'll tell you what. Greg, hang on. We will get to you, I promise. I went a little bit long there. I was just fascinated by that study and that breakdown, and I want to get it. I wanted to get it to you guys because not that anybody doesn't realize that FedEx Field sucks. I mean, it just does. Who are we kidding? I mean, we don't have to be nice, right? It's just not a good place. It's not a fun place. It's in a terrible location. It's just everything. I mean, I go there and I don't have a problem because, you know, I don't expect, you know, to A, be treated well, and B, I don't have some of the same issues that you guys have in terms of I don't have to pay for ticketing and parking. I do have to walk, and I don't have to pay for food, and I don't have to pay to get into the game. So I'll just say, okay, I know it sucks from a fan experience. It's not great from a reporter or media experience. Trust me, I know this. Because I've been to a ton of home games, but you know, is it worse to me than Oakland? No. And that's the argument I would have made. But now that's a moot point because the Raiders aren't playing in Oakland anymore. All right. Take a quick time out. We're with you on the Fan. Clarence Hill coming up at 11:30 right here on the Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alrighty, we are with you on the Fan on a Sunday morning. Again, Clarence Hill coming up at 11:30. Just trying to double check through Twitter to make sure I didn't miss anything because things happen at an incredibly quick rate. I guess there are people that are still holding, you know, thinking that Red Wolves might be a possibility here. I don't know. I mean, again, maybe I interpreted Kimes' tweet and news too loosely. I prefaced it, I think, every time by saying, look, that's me drawing an inference to it. But, you know, I could be wrong. I could be wrong. I guess, you know, Fred Smoot has been very talkative during this. And Fred Smoot does do work for the organization. He does. So I guess he tweeted out, from what I'm seeing, quote, "Our kids will understand we are now the Wolves of Washington. Winter is coming. Hashtag Red Wolves. Hashtag Fred Snow." I don't know what to make of it because he does work for the organization. Again, Red Wolves is going to be better, much better from a controversial standpoint and in every sort of way than Warriors. But, you know, you can only do so much to prevent people from making mistakes. All right, let's get back to the phones. 800-636-1067. Greg is in Indian Head on the Fan. Hey, Greg, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? It's kind of ironic. I'm an Indian head.
I was thinking the same thing.
I'm waiting for the name of the town to be changed.
Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't
anyway,
be. Where exactly is Indian Head? Is that on the east coast of Virginia?
All the way down Indian Head Highway, 210. Maryland, right, 210. It's a long. And I work.
It's Maryland, right? Indian Head. That's right. Indian Head, Maryland. Okay, gotcha.
Charles County.
Gotcha.
Anyway, I've been listening to the show all morning. So we went from changing the name. And, you know, everybody has a different agenda. So whatever you do, somebody's going to come out with it.
Right.
I like the Red Tails because it paid honor to the Tuskegee Airmen.
Yes.
Now, Dan Snyder has voiced that he would like to pay honor to Native Americans and also the military.
Yes.
How about the Washington Wind Talkers? They were also fought in World War II, and the Japanese could never break their code. Wind Talkers. They were, I believe they were Native Americans that talked code in World War II in the Pacific, and the Japanese could never break the code.
Yeah.
They saved numerous lives.
I don't know enough about that whole thing. I would just say very hard to market that is my guess. And that's probably why he does not want to go Red Tails, because I think he probably thinks that's hard to market, even though it would seem like that is pretty unoffensive.
And that's my whole point.
Yeah.
That's my whole point. We went from changing the name to stadium to now it comes down to the root of all evil, money.
Well, it's always been about money,
but
it's always been about money. That's the whole thing. Like
why are we having, somebody's going to make a name for themselves. Either it's going to be the media or somebody with a different agenda. It's either going to be about money or political.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that's what makes the world go round. I mean, you look at the very top of the country. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? I mean, so why should it be any different here? See, the notion that, you know, the Redskins have always presented this image. We care about the name because it pays honor and homage to Native American traditions and history and to the rich tradition of all of that stuff is partially true. But what they always conveniently left out is we are going to lose millions and millions of dollars and a lot of fans and a lot of customers by changing the name Redskins to whatever. That's the part that always got left out. Now, eventually, if they hit a home run with the new name and they win on the field, eventually they will make money, but not short term, not immediately, not over the next two or three or four or five years, unless there's a meteoric rise in terms of the football operation. And maybe that's possible, but it's always been largely about money. And in this case, it's largely about money too, because I guarantee you, if FedEx and then others didn't follow suit, we wouldn't be having, maybe they would be having this discussion privately. We would not be having this debate and this discussion and this forum and this reality that today could be the very last day. So we'll see. I appreciate the phone call, Greg. Thank you. Let's go to line two. Joe in Clarksburg on the Fan. Hey, Joe. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you, Chris?
Good, Joe. What's going on?
Okay. I just wanted to make a few points on the name change. First of all, I think you're right that they can't name it Warriors. And I think the problem is less with the name than it is with the imagery and what type of imagery would be used.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the diehard fans that want to stick with the name would be showing up for games in the same garb as the Redskins with Redskins flags, et cetera, et cetera. And that's not going to be much of a solution for the Native Americans who find the name objectionable.
Yes. Well, whatever the new name is, you're still going to see plenty of Redskins gear, right? Whatever the new name is. However, if you can somehow, Joe, find a way to connect with the influential part of the fan base and the culture change part of the fan base, the loud and proud part of the fan base that they haven't been able to capture really, if you can do that, then eventually that's going to wane and it's going to be overrun if you see, again, a lot of you know, a lot of people running around with, say, Red Wolves gear or whatever. Eventually, that's going to become the in thing if it's not going to be in from the get-go. But if you take something that's unpopular, and Warriors is kind of like, okay, I think some people buy into it, some people won't like it, whatever. I think you're running the risk of having for at least the next 5 to 10 years, a lot of people still showing up at your games and at your road games, quite honestly, with Redskins gear on it.
Okay. If I can make a second point,
sure.
Just a suggestion on what, in my opinion, would be a pretty good name for them, and that is the Rough Riders. And the reason why I say that is, it has the military connection. It was a volunteer cavalry unit that was together for 1 year during the Spanish-American War. It was led by Theodore Roosevelt, who I think on anybody's list of presidents ranks in the top 10. I think the name is badass. I mean, the Rough Riders. You could call them the Riders for short. Everybody would know what you were talking about.
Vic, maybe you can help me. Isn't there a hockey team, Ottawa Rough Riders or something like that? I seem to remember that name as being a name of a minor league hockey team. I could be wrong on that. I'd have to double check it. But that's one that I haven't heard, to be honest with you. That's one, Joe, that I haven't heard anybody bring up. So, I mean, you know, I mean, I guess you throw it into the mix. I mean, unfortunately, it looks like the decision was already made, and it was hurried in terms of the decision process, because they don't want to lose any more money, and because they don't want any more corporate sponsors to bow out, and because they want to get this done and over with. But we'll see. Joe, appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much. Let's get to Aaron in D.C. real quick here before the bottom of the hour on the fan before we get to Clarence Hill. What's up, Aaron, on line 3? How are you?
I'm good, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Thanks for making it.
I know you all are discussing the name change. I'm not going to deny. I'm a Redskins fan, and I've always grown up home of the brave. I've always associated with good things. But if they want to change the name, that's fine. I'm all for it. I just wanted to comment on the stadium aspect. I remember going to Arizona Cardinals game in a college stadium where you didn't even have individual seats, and it was great. The key is the hospitality. I had century seats at the Redskins game, you know, 50-yard line, second row. Nobody knew where it was. Nobody knew where this special part was a part of it. Everybody didn't. Nobody wanted to help you give directions. There was one lady. She was super sweet. She served you like hot dogs out of a cooler. There's no food. These things are easily fixable. They just need to focus on hospitality, like being kind, putting up a better facade, offering better food items, offering more drink items, offering more areas that don't cost a lot of money within to renovate, that creates like a nice little area of bar. Mm-hmm. I'm in the restaurant industry. The problem isn't the stadium. The problem is the hospitality and the way they run it. And I really appreciate you taking my
Well, answer. I would agree. And I have never gone to a game as a fan there, but from many, 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 many fans and walking around that stadium and understanding what you're. Of course, I absolutely agree. They're going to argue that they've upgraded food and concessions. They've upgraded it for the people that spend the most amount of money. They haven't upgraded it for the basic customer, for the basic fan. They've upgraded it for the influential or the affluent fan, not influential. They've upgraded it for the affluent fan. They have not taken care of the basic fan enough, in my opinion. They'd argue that they have. I don't believe they have. It's a good point, and it's a good premise. Now, listen, I still think the stadium location, traffic, this, that, all sorts of problems, but those are problems elsewhere too. But if you don't charge a ridiculous amount for your concessions, if you don't charge $50 for parking to park on a grass gravel lot, you're going to make people happier, period. And the Redskins have not figured that out many, 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 many times. They have been told to do that, and they don't care. They do not listen. They do not pay attention. All right, let's do this. Let's break for the bottom of the hour, rather. And we will be joined by Clarence Hill Jr. coming up next. He had Charles Robinson on his show. He covers the Dallas Cowboys for the Star-Telegram. He'll join us in the nation's capital next on The Fan. Right, good to have you with us. Less than a half an hour to go right here on a Sunday morning, heading towards noon in the nation's capital, where it could be the final day ever that the Washington football team is known as the Washington Redskins. Joining us now is a guy who made a little bit of breaking news yesterday, relaying what Charles Robinson said on his radio show, and he's covered the Dallas Cowboys and done it very well for a long time for the Star-Telegram down in Dallas. It's Clarence Hill Jr., and he's with us here on The Fan in Washington, D.C. Clarence, thank you very much for your time. It's Chris Russell back here in D.C. How are you? Thanks for doing this.
I'm good. I appreciate you having me on. Based on my Twitter mentions, don't shoot the messenger. I didn't break the news.
I know.
It was Charles who broke the news.
I know. I know. But you know. But you're an influential. You're an influential guy. So your tweet got around, and then we picked up the audio, of course, from the radio station you did the show for, 103.3, in Dallas. So good job out of all of you guys for doing it. Let me start here. I got to be honest, like when I heard the audio, Charles almost seemed like matter of fact, like, well, you know, like, yeah, this is going to happen. And yet the timeline still 24 to 48 hours is what he said then. I thought it was super aggressive to even get this done before the regular season starts. Never mind 24 to 48 hours or in training camp. Did anything, the way he said it and the news, the revelation that finally this name was going to change, did it jump out to you and surprise you like it surprised me?
You know, it was funny because I called Charles on my show just to talk about the NFL return and Dak Prescott's contract. You know, he's plugged in with the league, and you know, he volunteered the information. He broke the news. You know, I got some breaking news for you, you know.
Yep.
And so he threw it out there, but I guess hearing things and reading things with FedEx, you know, threatening to take their name off the stadium and different things, I'm not surprised that it's moving quickly because it needs to move quickly. I mean, if they're trying to get the season started and allegedly they've been discussing this for weeks now, I'm not surprised that it will happen quickly. And as he said, you know, he got the information from other teams who said that they've been told to basically scrub the paraphernalia, the logo off of their sites because a new name is coming.
Right. How, from a guy who's been around the Cowboys, a controversial owner like Jerry Jones, did you ever, and Jerry and Dan are very close. They're rivals on the football field, but they're very close business partners and my understanding friends, right?
Yes.
Did you ever get the sense from any conversation that you had with Jerry that we would be in this position again in 2020? Or would you say that even Jerry would be stunned, shocked that we're here?
You know, I don't think any owner is shocked at this point that we're here based on, you know, the climate. You know, I can't say that they should be shocked that we're here based on the climate. Now, I'm sure Jerry and Dan are close, but Jerry lets Dan do his business and handle his business. But I can't believe any owner would or should be shocked that we're here, especially with the climate of the last few months. But this is not anything new. I know never say never, and I know Dan said never, but never is here.
Yeah,
you know, and so Jerry shouldn't be shocked, but you know, Jerry got, you know, things of his own he needs to mind, you know, regarding these type issues. But no, they shouldn't be shocked. Again, I haven't necessarily talked to Jerry specifically about the Redskins logo and mascot. Because, you know, we haven't talked about that sort of thing. But, you know, here we are.
Clarence Hill Jr. from the Star-Telegram down in Dallas. Also 103.3 Radio ESPN in Dallas. Nice enough to join us and give us a few minutes in his perspective. Again, Charles Robinson broke the news on his show yesterday in Dallas that within 24 to 48 hours, the Redskins could have and likely would have a new name. Here we are. There was a report also from John Keim of ESPN last night that, you know, again, the timeline was very aggressive, kind of like what Charles said to you. And he threw in the term Warriors, which has long been a thing that's been connected to Dan Snyder. He once had the trademark. I'm not sure where the trademark situation is. He wanted to name a potential AFL franchise, Washington Warriors. If they're the Warriors, Clarence, can you get be? I know you cover the Cowboys, but you have an opinion, obviously, just like I do. If they're the Warriors, does that ring to you like a good move, or is that still something that you're like, wait a second? Because this has been my point. Marquette University 25 years ago said, no. Marquette Warriors is not going to be our name because Native Americans, American Indians, were offended by the damn name.
Right. Yeah, I'm of the same mindset, and I know everybody said, well, the Golden State Warriors, but you don't see any type of Native American logo associated with right. the Golden State Warriors anymore. You know, and it used to, if you go back years ago, there was. And so now there's not, and I just don't see how you go from Redskins to Warriors in Washington. To me, that's a non-starter, but, you know, obviously people bigger than me are going to make those decisions. But I mean, it's the same thing, isn't it? You know, it's in the same family.
Yeah.
And if Redskins is offensive and those type of names are offensive, and the problem is that you're with the Warrior thing, you're still grouping or labeling or stereotyping
yes.
a group of people as savages, as warriors, you know, and stuff like that. And I think that's part of the whole problem with Indian and Redskin and all of that.
Clarence Hill Jr. joining us from the Star Telegram down in Dallas, 103.3 FM in Dallas as well. He had Charles Robinson on the show and nice enough to give us a few minutes and perspective. We're going to talk about the Cowboys, obviously, here in a little bit. You can follow Clarence, if you're not already doing so, at Clarence Hill Jr. on Twitter. I thought I tweeted a lot. My friend, you've got me, and you slay. You know what you did to me? You Vince Carter'd Frederick Weiss to me. You like leapfrogged over me and just absolutely pummeled me into the ground. 245,000 tweets. Do you sleep at all?
No, I don't sleep that much. I'm a late night person, man. I burn the candle at both ends, but it's entertainment. Twitter's fun for me. And as I tell people, if you follow me, you get all of me. And you're not just going to get Cowboys football. I'm not a seam head.
Yeah.
So we can just football. So you're going to get, you know, my humor. You're going to get some of my social interest. And so you're going to get everything.
I hear you, man. It's impressive because I thought I was active on Twitter, but you like I said, you've got me way, way beat. All right, so let's get to a couple more things here, and then we'll turn it over to the Cowboys thing. Just again, from your perspective, we talked about the potential new name and all that. Do you think if by the Redskins, by the Washington football team doing this, as they have done it and the way it seemingly has come across in the suddenly woke manner of our society, the Black Lives Matter movement turning into, again, the long cry once again, and now the corporate sponsors pulling out, do you think that the Redskins should ever be, I guess, commended for finally giving in? Or do you think because they didn't give in until the big corporate dollar was taken away or threatened to be taken away, that's exactly the reason why they shouldn't be commended, because they're probably doing it only because of that reason?
You know, let's just take commended out of it, because, you know, let's just not worry about commended. It's never too late to do the right thing.
Okay.
Okay, it's never too late to do the right thing, no matter how it comes about. And certainly they came to this point kicking and screaming. There's no doubt about it. They were pushing this point kicking and screaming. But we're here now, and let's just be glad in it. Let's be happy that we're here now. For the people that have been pushing for this and wanting this to happen, it's here now. Because it was just so hypocritical that the Redskins and NFL would get behind this new movement, you know, this Black Lives Matter movement, you know, following the death of George Floyd, with all these gestures and symbols and statements about denouncing racism, you know, and removing the statue of the owner and celebrating Juneteenth and still flying the flag of that
right.
logo and that mascot. I mean, that's hypocritical, you know. So now was the time. You know, the moment is now. The movement is now. Let's do it. And yes, the corporations FedEx and Nike and everybody else help, you know, push this ball down the road, but we're here now. So let's you know, whether, you know, they had to do it kicking and screaming, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, we don't, it's not a point of giving them credit. I mean, no one needs to get credit for doing the right thing. I mean, we could, you know, should you be applauded for doing what you're supposed to do?
Right. That's fair. Clarence Hill Jr. with us. You know, you just brought up the whole George Preston Marshall situation. I got to be honest with you, Clarence. You know, I had a harder problem that they continued to honor him than still using the name, because I looked at the name as being federally trademarked and protected and all that stuff, and so divisive, meaning, you know, many people were offended by it, but many people were not. I know how it was defined, dictionary slur. There is no rhyme or reason why up until 2 weeks ago they continued to honor, not only at RFK Stadium, which they haven't played at in 20-plus years, but no reason why they continued to honor basically flat out a racist owner in George Preston Marshall. No reason at all. And yet people didn't seem to be that upset about that compared to the Redskins' name. I mean, is that fair or is that...
You know, I've never seen a statue, and I've never been around a statue, and I guess that's a local D.C. thing as far as the statue is concerned. But, you know, the Redskin thing, that's a national issue, you know, for Native Americans, you know, across the world, you know, or across the country, I'm sorry. And so, you know, that struck a national chord. And so I think maybe that's the difference. But, yeah, it was past time for them to remove the statue, and certainly past time for them to change the mascot and logo.
Very fair. All right, I want to get a couple of things in here on the Cowboys, because I've asked you 1,000 things about this Redskins thing. I'm sure, you know, we want to tap into your expertise. So if we can do that for a couple of minutes, Clarence Hill Jr. with us again, covers the Cowboys for the Star Telegram, also 103.3 down in Dallas. So we're approaching July 15th, as in like 3 days from now. Would you say there's any chance that a long-term deal with Dak Prescott gets done, or would you say there's no chance?
Oh, I think that there, as long as there's time, there's a chance. You know, the deadline is not here. As my man friend Will Smith said in Independence Day, I don't hear no fat lady singing. I don't hear no fat lady singing. Okay, you know, at least that's from the Cowboys' standpoint. But deadlines make deals. You know, and if you look back to DeMarcus Lawrence before he got his deal, you look back to when Dez Bryant signed the deal right before the deadline. You look back to Zeke Elliott deal last fall and how it came together very quickly in a matter of days, you know, right before the season opener. And Jerry's always been a important person to say deadlines make deals, and we're at the deadline, and it could happen. The ominous thing is that they have not talked since March. You know, they have not had any renewed talks since March. So, that's what's, you know, ominous about this situation is, you know, there's been no chatter. You know, I thought that when he signed the franchise tag that may jumpstart talks, but it didn't, you know, and it didn't rekindle anything. And so they're still at the same point. But, you know, 3 days and counting, we'll see if they get on the phone and get this thing hammered, because it's important. If he plays this season on the tag, you know, we're looking at the Kirk Cousins doomsday scenario that he's out the door after one more year.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty eye-opening, because I was, you know, I was the guy leading the charge why the Redskins in the first season should not have franchise tagged Kirk Cousins, because I knew it would just set up doom and disaster. And that's what you're dealing with here. If Dak Prescott has any kind of a good year, and he, let's face it, let's be honest, he should, right? And if he has a great year, they are totally screwed. They are completely screwed, and rightfully so. There are a lot of issues there. Let me ask you this before we run out of time. The Redskins were heavily courting Amari Cooper. At one point, they I guess, from what I've heard, you know, they thought maybe they had a really good chance at him. Do you think the Cowboys overpaid to keep him away from the Redskins? Or do you think, hey, you know what, he's that good when he's healthy and he's right, and that's exactly what he deserved as a free agent at that time?
Well, the word is the Redskins gave him a better offer. He was offered more to come to the Redskins than to stay with Dallas. So, yep. He took less money to stay with the Cowboys to a certain extent. I think it was a creative deal. You know, there were questions about him and how he finished the season, you know, but this was a deal that made him whole, you know, as far as the contract is concerned, but also gave the Cowboys an out. It's really a 2-year deal, you know, and if things don't work out, they can walk away after 2 years. But in the meantime, you know, he's paid as the second highest paid receiver in the game. And so he's committed and feels good about his standing with the contract to continue to improve and continue to, you know, be that potential number one receiver for the Cowboys. And if not, they can always turn to CeeDee Lamb, who they drafted in the first round this year.
What is Mike McCarthy's fingerprint going to be on this organization in year one? Is it just going to be more aggressive than seemingly Jason Garrett was, or is there going to be something else that when we look back on 2020 and we say, oh, okay, that's why the Cowboys won 11 games. It's because McCarthy did this.
He was just a better coach. He was better organized. Mm-hmm. The special teams were awful last year. The game day management was awful last year. And Mike McCarthy had the track record with quarterbacks. I mean, coaching should matter. And the Cowboys have the talent. Now they need a leader. And now they finally have a leader in the coaching box that should make a difference.
Clarence, thank you so much. I really appreciate you joining us. Great insight and analysis on both the Cowboys and the Redskins' history and the name change. And great job, obviously, getting Charles to say that on your show. I wish he said it on my show, but good for you that you got it on your show. And thanks for making some time for us. Try and enjoy the rest of the rest of summer break, which we don't get much of a summer break around here. So I know you're not getting much of one there with this July 15th deadline looming, but thanks again for doing this.
Thank you.
All right, that's Clarence Hill Jr. Joining us from Dallas and the Star-Telegram. Good job by Vic getting him aboard to give us about 15 or so good minutes there. All right, so as we wrap up the show, and we're going to make way for Reese Waters coming up from noon to 3. He'll take you through and keep you guys company. And who knows, maybe we'll get a major leak in terms of what definitively or what we believe to be definitive would be the new name. I haven't seen anything out there, so if something has happened in the last 10, 15 minutes, I missed it while we were doing the interview. I try and as best I can, stay away from just scouring Twitter while I'm doing the radio show, just from the standpoint of it's hard enough to concentrate on the radio show. It's a whole nother thing if you try and keep up with Twitter going crazy and TweetDeck and all that stuff. So if something's happened in the last 10, 15 minutes, I missed it. I don't think anything's happened. But the point of the matter is maybe at some point this afternoon, some point this evening, we might get a little bit more clarification on when maybe an announcement could happen, if this is the last and final day that they will officially be named the Washington Redskins, all of that. One thing that I'm curious about, and this is more curious than anything else, I believe they'll keep it just, especially if they go Warriors, which, again, I think they're going to go. They'll keep Washington Warriors. I wonder, though, if it's a different name and they've kind of thrown people for a loop here, if they would consider in any way going DC instead of Washington, or, and I don't think this would happen. Not that I think DC would happen, but I think DC has a greater chance of this happening, something to do with the DMV, you know, because if you think about it, right? This team is identified most with the nation's capital in Washington, D.C., but their bread is baked. Their bread is buttered in Maryland and in Virginia, and has been for a long time. So if you're trying to kiss up to politicians in those municipalities to try and get a new stadium, to try and curry favor and a new practice facility eventually, and to have taxpayers pay for it or politicians fund it or whatever the case might be, instead of calling yourself the Washington whatevers or the DC whatevers, do you consider DMV? Probably not. Probably not. But it would be a little bit of a creative twist to honoring, again, the three separate, like they call New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, the tri-state area. Nobody calls that the tri-state area around here, you know, again, for obvious reasons. But it would be interesting to see if they do some sort of homage to that. So we'll have to see what happens. This, again, could be the very last and final day as the Washington Redskins. All right, that is going to do it for us. Thanks to Clarence Hill for joining us there. Thanks to you guys for listening and calling. Great job all weekend long out of JT the Vic. Really appreciate his hard work and efforts. Again, Reese Waters coming up next from noon to 3. I have about 17,000 columns I have to write, and I still haven't done my taxes. Where is my ice pick? Have a great rest of the weekend. Enjoy yourself. And if this is the last day, goodbye, Redskins forever.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.